Alaskans, wherever you are, welcome to the Must Read Alaska Show, coming to you from somewhere in Alaska. This is the place where we talk about, you guessed it, Alaska, where we keep the mainstream media on their toes, and where we are standing up for what's right in a world run by leftists. You can find out more by heading over to mustreadalaska.com, and also checking out the Must Read Alaska YouTube channel for some really great content. But first, let's get this party started.
Welcome, everybody, to the Must Read Alaska Show. I'm your host, John Quick, coming to you live from somewhere in Alaska, and I cannot wait until spring is here. We've had enough snow, probably, I don't know, on the Kenai Peninsula, definitely in Anchorage, to last us a couple years, and very excited to see that sun again in 50-degree weather. For folks that listen, watch, and read Must Read Alaska, I want to thank you for doing that. If you want to sponsor the Must Read Alaska Show, you can just email me, John, J-O-H-N, at mustreadalaska.com. And if you want to donate to Must Read Alaska, just go to mustreadalaska.com. On the right-hand side, there's a little donate button. Every $5, $10, $100 helps keep the lights on here at Must Read Alaska. But without further ado, we have an awesome guest today. Kelly Chewbacca is in the house. Welcome to the Must Read Alaska Show, Kelly.
I'm so excited to be with you. It has been a great week where Alaska took the highest percentage win for Donald J. Trump for president. So I'm riding a little bit of a high. Happy to be with you, John. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm super excited you're here. I want to first touch base on, you have a podcast and you have some of the most epic guests that have come on your podcast already. Tell me about starting this new podcast. It's called Stand. You've had a great run so far. I'm sure you have many more awesome guests down the line, but tell me about what spurred you on to start this and tell me how it's going.
Yeah, thanks. So after my campaign in 2022 for Senate, one of the things that we realized, having the lowest voter turnout Alaska's ever seen, is all these people across Alaska I met had said that they felt voiceless. And then it became this self-fulfilling prophecy in the election. But a state of sofa surfers won't change anything. If we don't stand, we can't make a difference. And not voting actually is a vote. It's saying, I'm okay with the status quo. I'm okay with the establishment making decisions for me, and I'm just going to ride this one out. Everyone can make their decisions for me. And so it's really important that even in the small things we do, we take a stand. We saw that when the nation took a stand against Bud Light and what they were doing and what a difference it has made. Your vote, whether it's voting with your wallet in the choices you make or voting at the ballot box, actually makes a really big difference in the course of local politics, national politics, in the course of corporate decisions. So we wanted to really develop a show that helps make courage contagious. And that's what we're doing, bringing on inspiring guests who can help people boldly empower them to make a stand in daily issues that we're facing. It's not just political people. It also includes entrepreneurs and authors, celebrities. We had a general manager for the NBA Nuggets. That's the team that won the NBA playoffs last year. All kinds of people from all different walks of life coming on and sharing stories that can help empower Americans to boldly stand for what they believe to make courage contagious. So you can find us on standshow.org, standshow.org. It is a podcast, also on radio and TV across Alaska.
That's pretty awesome. So folks, I'm going to put the link in the podcast description. I want to encourage folks to go check that out if you have not already. It's a really amazing show, top-notch guests. And, Kelly, you're bringing folks up to your Alaska podcasts that Alaska has never seen these folks be on any sort of talk show or news show or podcast. And so I think that's pretty awesome. Tell me about some of your favorite guests so far, maybe some favorite guest moments.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the most intellectually challenging interviews was with Bill O'Reilly. He was just a whole different person to interview because his ability to just spar during an interview was great. Not that we were having a sparring interview, but the questions and answers back and forth were just so fast. The turnaround time, like you prep for an interview and you think it's going to go a certain way. He just was a guest unlike any other because he's been in broadcast journalism for 50 years. Yeah. So that was a great interview. We interviewed him on his latest book called Killing the Witches, which is a deep dive into the Salem witch trials. What I thought was fascinating is he used that to show how the Salem witch trial culture continues to permeate America. It has become cancel culture. And this witch trial mentality that as long as a culture or community has decided that we don't like you anymore, we're just going to get rid of you and murder you, murder your reputation, your finances, your family, without any due process. That's what they did in Salem. They wrongly murdered, I think he said, 13 people without any due process, that they'd done anything wrong or committed any crime. And that's the, it is, it still infects all of American culture, what happened in that small town. Fascinating interview. Also loved hearing from Larry Elder, a fascinating journey of his family's race, relation, and tension culture, culture and environment through America. His dad was Republican, his mom was Democrat. He told a lot of those stories and how that shaped him growing up and his political outlook, and then his rise through media culture. We had a really interesting interview with Ben Carson. I thought he gave some really great outlooks into how America needs to be balanced, the focus on education, raising up a young generation. Dennis Prager recently came on. We're going to have Alan Dershowitz on in just a couple weeks, and he'll talk about the war with Israel and then how this this conflict in the Middle East is really shaping the outlook of the 2024 election and making kind of strange bedfellows in America. As people have their eyes open to, they have a lot more in common with people than they thought. He's got a really interesting book out right now called War Against the Jews. So really great guests. And I'm working to get some of these people to come up to Alaska. I would hope this summer and this fall leading up to the election to try and get out the vote for the 2024 election.
Nice. Well, that's a who's who of guests, you know, from the conservative crowd. And I think that's awesome. So folks, again, I'll put the link in the description. Go there, subscribe, watch all the shows. You'll be blown away. So let's shift gears a little bit here, Kelly. Recently, there was a big announcement. You got invited to be the chair for the state for the Trump campaign. It might be called something different, but that's, you know, you've been picked to be kind of the head person for the Trump campaign here in Alaska. Tell me about that story. How did that come about? And what are some of those responsibilities when you're the point person for the state?
Yeah, it's a great story. I really believe you give a job to the person who's already doing it. And I suspect that that's what they think too, because I was already in touch with several people in, we call it, I guess, Trump world, and coordinating with them about, here's what's happening for our version of the presidential primary. Here's how the delegates are picked. Just giving them information, getting them all set on how we totally rock Alaska like we did. Thank you for everybody who volunteered and turned out. I appreciate it. And, you know, this is what I would recommend, and this is what I would plan for mobilizing the get out the vote, making sure, you know, I want to make sure that we have a huge voter response in 2024, because that's going to make a difference for how we turn out on for a support for Trump instead of a support for Biden in November. Alaska will make a difference. And depending on how this election goes, we really could be a state that matters this race. And so we want to make sure that we show up and we represent. So I was already coordinating with them on all of that for, you know, many months in advance, and just doing what we can to help out and using my social media, using my email list to do that. And then they came back around and said, okay, it's getting close to time. We've already been talking about this and doing it. Would you please serve as, would you consider serving as state chair for this? And I kind of laughed and said, well, it really wouldn't matter to me who you served as state chair. I would be doing all of this anyway. So yeah, absolutely. I'm happy. If you want to put a title on it, titles don't really matter, but if someone needs a, they don't matter to me. If somebody needs a point person to call, absolutely. You can use me as that person. And I'm happy to coordinate with you for the rest of this campaign. And so that's how it came to be. I'm really excited about what this year holds. What I think we're going to end up doing, I want to really mobilize enthusiasm and momentum. I think it's really important that we change the direction of the nation. We're not a nation in decline. We're a nation in despair. And you can feel that across the country, especially if anyone's taken a trip out of Alaska. The closer you get to the border, you really can feel it, because we're absolutely under siege. We don't, a nation without borders isn't a nation, because we can't define ourselves. So we have a completely open border being overrun right now. And you get these reports literally from the head of Border Patrol and those who are the employees saying, we can't even count the number of criminals and terrorists who have come in. So an absolute infiltration of a danger and a threat into the country right now. We have that happening. We have an energy crisis happening. We have an economic crisis happening. Of course, we can look abroad and see whether it's the war between Russia and Ukraine or it's the war happening in Israel. We've got major foreign policy issues. Everything's burning on all fronts. So huge concerns with China. We've got to take a massive change in direction if we're going to redeem America. And I think there's only one candidate on the ballot who can do that right now and has done it before. And I think that's why you're seeing so much momentum across the country. I mean, but even in the primary results, much larger margins of people supporting President Trump than did back even in 2020. And so I think that this is really promising. And I think we're gonna see a big victory in November. What I'd like us to do in Alaska is really help mobilize that victory. I'd like us to help out with fundraisers. I'd like us to be the team on the ground that is mobilized to help call those swing states where the victory is really gonna make a difference. We can be the group that goes. I know that we've had faithful, loyal people who've traveled over to states before and done door knocking. If we can mobilize again to do that, that would be fantastic. We wanna get out the vote here in Alaska for strong representation. I'd like to bring up those speakers so that we can have some excitement and enthusiasm mobilizing in. And then what that means for us, John, is we've really mobilized votes all the way down the ballot. So that makes a big difference for our congressional race, which is, I've heard from NRCC, which is our National Republican Committee, our congressional race against Voltola this year is one of their top races of the hundreds of seats they have in Congress to choose whether they're going to fight for it or they're going to hold it or they're just going to watch it. Our seat is one of the top seats. It's like the Super Bowl in Alaska this year for politics. So if we can mobilize a massive voter turnout for Trump, then we've mobilized a massive voter turnout for our congressional candidate that wins the primary as well. And so that's huge. And then also down ballot for our Juneau seats. We definitely need a larger majority in the House, and we definitely need to secure a Senate majority. And it'll make huge outcomes for how we experience daily life in Alaska. So it's a much larger strategy than just, let's see Trump win in Alaska. I would like to see that Trump turnout absolutely help Alaska all the way down the ballot.
Nice. So you talked a little bit about this, but for folks that maybe don't know the process, something happened yesterday, a vote happened yesterday. Talk to me about what that was and what does that mean for Trump, you know, here in the near future.
On Super Tuesday, across the country, many states had their version of a primary, and Alaska did too. We called it a presidential preference poll, where people who are registered Republican could show up at a local polling area and then determine who they preferred for a presidential candidate. And in our state, it looks like about 89% of the people who showed up said that they prefer Donald Trump as their candidate. That means that our delegate votes for Alaska at the Republican National Convention will go to Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And for all of those states, there were many that voted yesterday. Of all the states that voted, Alaska is the one that had the largest percentage of voters say that they prefer Donald Trump as the primary candidate for the Republican Party, which I think, number one, was not expected by some, but number two is absolutely huge. That actually parallels the response that he got when he came up for the rally for my Senate race in 22. The applause that he received was absolutely thunderous inside the stadium. For those who were there, you remember it was deafening. Alaska absolutely loves President Trump, and that's what we saw in the presidential primary this week. And so I think that that's fantastic, and I think bodes well for the coming turnout and what we could see in the election in November.
So there's not too many people in Alaska, maybe a very small handful that have been able to have a conversation with Trump, let alone share a stage with him. You were able to help bring him up to have probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, political rally that Alaska's ever seen. Tell me a little bit about what it was like to be on stage with President Trump.
Well, you know, the stage moment was actually very short. So he's super gracious and kind. I've had many moments with President Trump, including having dinner with him. I think that the most intense time was my hour-long interview to get his endorsement. Like, would he or would he not endorse me? And he is so brilliant. It was like going through a Supreme Court argument where you start to answer the question, he cuts you off 30 or 45 seconds later and then hits you with another completely random question. and all very strategic and concise and on your toes, or like a really intense session of The Apprentice, if any of you watched that show. He's very, very brilliant. This is the thing. I've been in a lot of executive boardrooms. You know, I used to brief the director of national intelligence on a regular basis. I've briefed many cabinet members for the president's cabinet, was one of the governor's cabinet members. And what I noticed about President Trump is he was extremely respectful. At no point in time, having been with him many times, have I ever felt demeaned or like there was any kind of sexism in the room, because I've heard all of those rumors. I've never felt that, not even a whiff of it. Instead, quite the opposite. He was actually very deferential, extremely respectful, and very, very sharp and very, very cunning. And he also is just really good at executing, which when you got to think of it, when we're electing somebody for president, we're actually hiring somebody to do a job. And some people are really good at some jobs like campaigning than they are at other jobs like executing. And when you have somebody in office for 4 years, I want them to execute well in the executive branch. I want them to do the job well of being the CEO of the country. I was extremely impressed with his ability to cut through, to spot issues, cut through it, get to the answer, and then execute there on the spot. I told him, for example, this is my polling numbers. He's like, okay, hold on. And then he called his pollster and fact checked me on the spot. I'm confident that if I'd lied to him, I would have been kicked out of the office, right? Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't have gotten the endorsement. He essentially fact checked me on the spot for an hour. I don't know a lot of people who could have done that, let alone would have had the courage to do that. But I think this is why he's so effective at getting things done. I know there are a lot of people right now who are thinking, hey, how can I help and jump in? Please sign up online. DonaldJTrump.com is the best place to sign up to volunteer. I'm in contact regularly with his volunteer team that's leading that, and I'll get that list of people who want to volunteer. DonaldJTrump.com. That's also where you can donate. We'd appreciate the donations. You know, he needs all the help he can get. And I'm happy to have you on the team, and I'll keep you posted as I get direction from the national team as to how we can help best.
That's awesome. Yeah, that was my kind of my next question of, you know, you build a huge team out when you ran for Senate. You had folks all over the state. You did a good job of getting the right people in the right seats. There's going to be tons of folks that want to get involved. Do you see yourself building out a team like you did when you ran for Senate for this presidential campaign under Trump?
I think we'll need teams, especially to help us with the events, fundraising events, and if we get great speakers, the speaker events. It's all so important to help mobilize a participatory spirit that ultimately leads to that 2024 turnout. This is how we'll get him elected, and it's also how we get our congressional candidate elected. We get back Don Young's seat, and it's also how we get people down ballot elected. It's all part of this larger strategy that I think is so important to turning Alaska around. So yes, having that team mobilized is so much part of building the enthusiasm and the spirit across Alaska this year that I think will be really, really important.
So do you still have hope for America? I mean, you turn on the news, anybody could turn on the news. Doesn't matter if you watch Fox or CNN. It's pretty darn depressing. I don't watch the news myself, but you know, it's easy to find the negative in things happening right now, but are you still hopeful for America?
Oh, absolutely. I think hope is what gets us the ability to have courage and to persevere and to continue to press on. When we start to let that discouragement set in, remember the root word for discouragement comes from the word for heart. And so it goes straight to your heart and it's a poison dart. And that's what gets you to quit. I really believe that just staying in the battle is over half the fight. I asked my son today, he's about to leave for college and he's doing fantastic. I said, what's the best piece of advice that you've ever received? He said, don't give up. It's actually our family motto, just don't give up. If you don't give up, the only person who can get you to give up is you. It's really just a personal decision. And part of what helps us to not give up is not letting discouragement and despair and all those things into your mind and to your heart. That's part of the reason why we named the podcast Stand. It's a part of a decision to persevere in hope, and perseverance is a choice that we're just not going to let. It's not that we're naive about what's happening. We're quite informed, but we're going to take a stand. And it's part of pushing back against this narrative that you might as well throw in the towel and give up and quit because there's no hope. So we've got you. We win. No, if you don't give up, then you haven't lost. you can still make a stand and press forward. And the more of us that do that, the more we start to change perception, change opinion, and change the tide. He's actually started posting our podcast episodes on his social media, which of course is filled with a lot of youth, young kids in high school who don't share his same views. And now apparently all through the Anchorage School District, because he's a leader in student government and has all these friends in student government across the schools, all these kids are talking about all of our podcast episodes with all these conservative nice. Guests. And it sparked a lot of conversation, which I think is a great thing. This is kind of the point. Once you start sparking conversation and ideas, and you start pushing back against the narrative, it's amazing how people start to open their eyes and think differently. What can you do to start conversation and push back against the narrative just because you're taking a stand and you're not giving up? That's where the hope comes in.
Nice. Well, 20 minutes has gone by in a flash. Any last minute thoughts here before we head out?
I would love to just remind everyone, standshow.org. You can subscribe to our episodes, catch every episode. We'd love to have your support. And DonaldJTrump.com. Those are the two websites to go to. Get more involved. It really depends on you. We love having you listen to shows like this. John and I do. But we do these things so that we can get you mobilized and get you engaged, because that's what really drives us and motivates us. We'd love to have you partner with us in the things that we're doing. So standshow.org, DonaldJTrump.com. John, thanks for having me with you today.
Yeah, folks, I appreciate you coming on, Kelly. And for folks listening, if you just caught the tail end of this, I want to encourage you to click on the link below. You're going to get a link to Kelly's new show that brings literally world-class guests into a show that takes place in Alaska, which is very exciting. Who's who of the conservatives around the U.S. And she is the chair of the Trump campaign for the state of Alaska. Kelly, we wish you nothing but success. And for folks that listen, watch, and read Must Read Alaska, if you want to help keep the lights on, just go to mustreadalaska.com. There's a little donate button on the right-hand side. If you want to sponsor the Must Read Alaska show, just email me, John, J-O-H-N, at mustreadalaska.com. And until next time, I'm John Quick from somewhere in Alaska. Thanks so much, Kelly.
Thank you. Bye-bye.